So we've been talking about forgiveness, and we saw that forgiveness is essential to the gospel message, yet it's often poorly understood. And we look first of all to see that forgiving does not mean forgetting what happened. We do remember, but we begin to remember in a different kind of way. Forgiving does not mean condoning what was done, or what was done was wrong. Forgiving does not mean absolving a person, because they must be accountable, as we all are accountable for our actions. And finally, we saw that forgiveness is not an act of the will. It's not the kind of thing that we can just will and say, I will forgive you. It's a process, and we can choose to begin the process and carry through with it. And forgiveness is the grace or the fruit or the gift at the end of the process. When the healing has taken place, forgiveness happens. Then we looked at the first step. The first step is to look very clearly and see what was done. And then to look and see who did it. Sometimes it's a very trusted person. And then we look to see the consequences of whatever kind of hurts and abuse there were. We saw the hate that it engenders in us, and the anger, the addictive behavior we get into, and out of it we abuse other people, and the depression that happens so often. And finally, how it messes up our relationships. We get into all kinds of crazy relationships. These are the consequences. That was the first step in seeing these kinds of things. The second step is, after we see this, we begin to blame ourselves. This is particularly true when abuse happens to children. To say, I am at fault. And as a result of this, we have to deal with a lot of guilt and shame. There's healthy guilt and healthy shame, but most of the guilts and shames we deal with are not. It's unhealthy guilt that we have to deal with and a toxic shame. And so that brings us now to the third stage. After it begins to sink into us what really and truly happened, we realize that we are victims, that we have been victimized. We have to face that truth. I was a victim, this was done to me. And as we begin to realize that we're victims, things happen to us. We start to feel sorry for ourselves, feel depressed, isolated, nobody understands. We often medicate ourselves. I have an image of what kind of like this victim situation stance is. It's like a child huddled in the corner in a fetal position, whimpering. That happens to us. There's also, as we get this too, there's a lot of anger that is present. The anger is not focused. It's not the kind of anger which does us any good. It just scatters wherever it is. It's like a shotgun. Everything goes out. Whoever happens to be in the way gets it. So those are the things that happen as we begin to realize we're victims. What happens too, unfortunately, we start to identify ourselves as victims. That's who I am. Not just that I was a victim of this has happened to me, but I am a victim. That is who I am. We don't see all the other parts of us and all the other things in our life, but we begin to identify, I am this victim. We turn that over and over and over inside of ourselves. We see easily get stuck in that. This is disastrous. We get stuck in that victim mode. We never heal. Like over and over again, I've been hurt. This is bad. This is done to me. This is awful. This is terrible. And they were terrible. And we have to face those things, but we can get stuck in that kind of rut. We have to go through it, but it's important to go through it and not get stuck in it. But that happens so very, very easily. There are helps we can have to get through this. It's often very helpful for us to belong to a support group. People have experienced similar kinds of things. Because we usually think we're kind of crazy. Well, we are kind of crazy, I guess. But we think there's something really wrong with us. We don't realize that these are the normal results of these things that have happened. And as we talk to other people who have experienced similar kinds of things, we realize that we're not some nuts. There are other people going through that same kind of crazy behavior and feelings too. And so support groups can be very, very helpful. We're not so much alone. We're not so isolated, which is the tendency of the victim just to pull in and isolate ourselves. It also is helpful, too, if we can talk about what happened to somebody who understands, has some knowledge, and cares about us. Those are kinds of things which can be helpful. It's also helpful, too, to look at our assets. We all have gifts of one kind or another. Some are great, big, flashy gifts, and some are small. It doesn't make any difference. It's important to identify with the assets that we have to realize that we're not just all victims. Maybe different kinds of things. Maybe I'm very good at fixing stuff. Well, think about that. Well, if there weren't people who could fix stuff, I'd die. You know, I can't fix anything. I don't know what it is, but I'm just not a very good fixer. But thank God there are people that can fix. If you're a fixer, think of it. That's really great. What kind of a world would we have if there weren't any people that could fix stuff? Other kinds of things. Maybe I'm really good at cooking. I can make a delightful meal. Nourishing and nutritious. Think how different our life would be if we didn't have people that could do a good job of cooking. How much of our life would be much more unhappy, or not unhappy, but miserable and not as gracious? What if the essence, what are things that I can do? Maybe I'm a good listener. That is so important. Almost nobody listens. Almost nobody listens. Which is one of the reasons why conflicts don't get resolved. Nobody listens. When you're talking to me, I'm thinking what I'm going to say to you. I only listen to you insofar as I can use what you say against you. Don't we do that? Isn't that arguments all about? That's why they don't do anything. Maybe I'm a good listener. Hey, that's a great thing. Without people who listen, we don't grow. We don't grow. Listening is an essential kind of thing in spiritual growth. Maybe I'm a good listener. What is it that I do? Take a look. Doesn't have to be some great, big, flashy kind of thing. What are my talents? They don't have to be wonderful or magnificent. Think of those. Grow them. See, these are gifts. And use them. These things help us to get out of the victim status. There's another one too, if I can remember. Oh yeah, I know. It's good then to start to do little kinds of things for ourselves. Little kind, thoughtful things for ourselves that feel good and help to delight us. Doesn't have to be big. You see, when I do a little something for myself that's gracious and valuable, it's saying, I'm somebody. I count. And so much of all these kinds of things, we get to the notion, I don't count. I'm worth doing some good things for myself. Everybody is. Do some good things for yourself, even if they're tiny little ones. And also, do some little good things for other people, too. That kind of gets us out of the sense of just being too much built inside of our own shell. So this stage, this victim stage, is we have to go through these things. And again, as we talk about this, These don't happen with mathematical precision in any kind of way, because human living isn't like that at all. We go into one and out and back and forth, and interweave and so on. But it can be helpful to us to understand some of the things that are going on and some of the things that are happening. So we can look at that victim stage that we must go through, but it's important that we not get stuck. We not get stuck. I may have been victimized, and victimized terribly, but I am so much more than a victim. I'm a beautiful daughter or son of God. That's who I am. And that's deeper and broader than a victim. That's all. So we can pray about this. So just sit back and relax. And close your eyes. And keep your back straight. And breathe slowly and deeply, slowly and deeply. Let the cares and the worries and the fears and the hates, the anger, the vengeance and the bitterness fall away. We are surrounded by love, the love we name God. That love holds us, embraces us, cradles us, looks at us tenderly and with compassion. That love lives deep within our souls, bubbles up with powerful healing energy. Gracious love, I so much need you to touch all the wounded parts. Help me to face the painful reality of what was done to me, how I've been hurt, how I've been abused. Help me to face that, not deny it, not minimize it. Realize that I have been victimized, sometimes victimized terribly. I want your love to heal that wound. And help me to see how much more that I am. If all is true, I was victimized and was terrible and has messed up my life. That I am beautiful and good. That I do have talents, I do have gifts. They may be modest according to earthly standards, but they're still God's gifts. Help me to recognize them, to see them, and appreciate them. Help me to use them. Help me be good to myself. And help me be good to my sisters and brothers. Gracious love, I open my whole soul to you. You may come into my heart and my soul. Your love can do anything that you want. For I trust you. Your love may not work the way I imagine, the way I think it should, but your love will always do what is truly good for me. I give my whole being to you.